Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Well, Ray, the Warriors had not won three games in a row for the longest time, and they had not lost three games in a row either. Well, now they've accomplished both. They won three in a row, now they've lost three in a row, and it was no surprise in Phoenix because the Warriors, in losing 120-98, were playing without Steph Curry as he rests before the All-Star break, without Draymond Green because he's got a sore ankle and, you know, just better off to rest him at this point and not push that, and Kelly Oubre also banged up after trying to dunk in practice. So it was really the Santa Cruz Warriors taking the floor against Phoenix. But, you know, a valiant effort early on. And, you know, I said before the game, Ray, that I thought that Andrew Wiggins would have to score 40 for the Warriors to win. He ended up with 16. So not close, not close. But, you know, there were some good moments, especially watching Jordan Poole and what he did when he was playing with Santa Cruz in Orlando. You could tell that he's much more relaxed now, and he comes out and scores 26 points. So that was a really promising sign coming out of this game.
That was the story of the game for the Warriors, was Jordan Poole. Looks like a different player. In other words, a good one, at least for one game. Now, I take this with a grain of salt because there were some scrub minutes involved there, but he had a good run in the second quarter. And you take that along with the fact that he had terrific numbers in the G League. It looks like a more confident player, more aggressive player, and looks like a guy that could be with the second unit offensively and handle the ball, be a guy who creates for himself. Definitely looks more aggressive. Doesn't need to be off the ball all the time. Maybe a combo guard and provide some offensive punch for that second group, which it's been putrid offensively for the most part. And, you know, taking with that and the fact that Brad Wanamaker has struggled, sounds like he tweaked his ankle tonight, and everything Steve Kerr said postgame, the signs are pointing upwards for Jordan Poole. And, you know, this is a kind of a weird season. I've asked this question multiple times. What are the Warriors doing this year? What do they see this year as being? And, you know, and sometimes we've mentioned it a couple of times before that, you know, it seems like a waste of a prime year for Steph, where his numbers, his efficiency, are very close to his MVP years. And he's kind of bearing all the load. And I understand why he's given the night off, because this was a game that was rescheduled from January 15th anyway, because the Suns had some COVID protocol issues. So it ended up being a back-to-back, and then he's going to go to Atlanta, play in the All-Star game, and be in the three-point contest. And you take that along with the travel that he has to do, the fact they got into Phoenix at like 3:30 in the morning, and I guess it was something they were thinking about doing anyway to rest Steph. You know, you've got a 32-year-old superstar now. He's going to be 33 later on this month. You got to think big picture. And so this was pretty much handing Phoenix a win tonight. The Warriors were kind of competitive for a while, but as the night went on, it was obvious the way that this was going to go. And you got to rest Draymond, and you got to rest Kelly Oubre. I mean, they've shown flashes in the first half, but they're pretty much where they probably should be. If you watched all their games, you're looking at a maybe slightly better than mediocre team that's going to battle for one of the last playoff spots. And right now, they're out of the playoff picture, but they're maybe a half game out. So they got three tough games coming up after the All-Star break, and if they're not healthy, those could all be losses as well. If they're able to get a win out of one of those three games, they can kind of stop the bleeding. I really thought last night in Portland was one they could get, and they should have gotten it, but they got that one away. They missed about, I don't know, 47 layups. That's an unofficial number.
Yeah.
But they missed a bunch, and several on one play, as a matter of fact, late that just absolutely killed them. That's one that they really needed to have. They had a couple of other games, for example, Orlando and Charlotte, that they probably should have won. The record going into tonight should have been much better if you look at that. And they had a couple other games they kind of stole. So all things being equal, they're probably where they should be, and they're not dead. Hopefully the three games in the second half don't kill them. If they can get one, stop the bleeding, be healthy, and, you know, play better basketball, and maybe Poole contributes. We'll see. I wouldn't get too excited yet I mean, I remember seeing what he was last year. He really struggled as a rookie, not only with the results, but with his confidence. And they kind of had him on a yo-yo. Well, this year they gave him some good time down in G League, and he does look like a more confident player. So hopefully that holds.
Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say after the game about Jordan Poole.
Well, I liked his confidence. I liked the way he came off screens. He's been working really hard all year on, you know, catch and shoot, just coming off of picks and being ready to shoot. He throughout the pandemic, he was the most consistent player we had in terms of the daily work. And, he and Chris DeMarco worked every day, and that was one of the things they worked on. And I think he's just really refined everything, you know, in Orlando. I think Chris Weems and his staff have done a fantastic job of preparing Jordan and Nico for their return. And I thought both guys really played well tonight.
Kerr was also asked whether or not Poole earned more playing time and a rotation spot in the second half of the season.
Well, when you play like he did tonight, then you definitely deserve another look, you always have to earn everything in this league, and the way he played tonight, he definitely earned more minutes. So we're going to be looking at a lot of things over the break, and when we return, we've got a lot of decisions to make with our rotation pattern, and we're going to have to try to find the right balance and the right combinations to really improve and stay in the playoff fight and continue to develop these young guys.
And what I get out of what Steve Kerr was saying is that, I mean, he believes that Jordan Poole is a much more confident player. I mean, it was pretty obvious. I mean, that time that he spent in the G League was huge. I mean, because he's putting up points there. There's no pressure. And he's taking some deep threes and making them for the Warriors against the Suns. And he just looked like a different guy. I mean, he really did. So I think the focus is going to be on, you know, making sure that he gets minutes, as Kerr alluded to. And then there's Wiseman, too, because Wiseman got the start against the Suns. And there's a lot of development that we need to talk about with Wiseman. But again, I mean, there's going to be a lot of focus there. And it kind of goes to what you're talking about. What is the focus? What is the goal of this team? Because you have Steph in his prime years, in a prime year where he's playing his best basketball. You're one game above 500. You could make the playoffs, but you've got all these other thoughts about, you know, time that needs to be spent on the court for some of the younger guys.
Well, I think if you intend to go forward with Wiseman, you've got to have him play with Steph and Draymond. I think, you know, for a while it was probably a good move to have Looney play with them because, you know, there's synergy there. They were together in championship years, and Looney and Curry play well together. But I think in the long run it's going to benefit Wiseman to play more with the first group. And so it sounds like that's the direction they're going, at least to start the second half. But it's not just the minutes, but how do you use him in those minutes? What kind of player are you looking at here? Yeah, what are his strengths right now? And it seems like when you get him to the low block, I don't know if that's the best place to use him. They tried to get him down on the block against Ayton, who has been in the league a couple years now and is bulked up. He's not going to muscle Ayton. He's not a guy who can go and bully somebody at this point. He's thin as a reed. He's 19 years old. He's not developed yet in that regard. And sometimes he has trouble receiving the ball on the low block. So I don't know if that's the best use of him right now. I mean, if you want to have a guy who can run the floor, get some rebounds, block some shots, and catch some alley-oops, I think he's your man. Do the things that he does best to have him gain some confidence. And, you know, I guess he's eventually going to be a guy who can shoot a three. He's shown glimpses of that. I think that's another part of his game that, you know, I wince right now when he shoots it, but it might
Me
be...
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, it might be something that he can do down the road. I know people use the comparison of Chris Bosh. Holy cow. If he becomes a player anywhere near Chris Bosh, that's going to be a bonus for the Warriors. I don't necessarily see him being as good as Bosh, but maybe that kind of player. I'm not really sure. But right now, at this stage of his development, and again, very, 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 very early in his career, It doesn't serve any purpose to jump to conclusions about this kid. But just looking at what I'm seeing right now, you know, if you want to develop this player, first of all, you've got to develop their confidence and have them do the things they do well first.
Here's what Steve Kerr had to say after the Suns game about James Wiseman's play.
Well, it's great for James to get minutes. I mean, he's similar to Jordan and Nico. He just needs reps. He needs minutes. He needs to feel comfortable and confident out there. And considering the fact that he played that game without Steph and Draymond, who really provide a comfort level for him, it was a great experience for him. He had to guard DeAndre Ayton, who's fellow young, athletic, big guy. Had to guard Chris Paul coming downhill on pick and rolls. So very good experience. He's got a lot to look at with that tape, and we'll look at it with him. But he just needs the reps. There's no shortcuts, and he's going to have to play a lot more games just like tonight and fight through some growing pains and some mistakes to get where he wants to go and where we need him to be.
Kerr was asked which area Wiseman needs to improve the most in the second half of the season.
I think rebounding. I think we're a pretty poor rebounding team. We got outboarded 52-39 tonight. He did a much better job in the second half. But rebounding is about positioning. It's about anticipating, and he should go. So second half of the season will be really big for James and for us. For us to win, to be competitive, he's got to be a force in the paint on the glass.
In listening to Steve Kerr talking about the rebound positioning and instincts and, being able to get to the ball quickly, all of the different things that happen when you're a good rebounder, it made me think about the work that Wiseman needs to do in the offseason, and not just rebounding. Yeah. Like you talked about with the low post situation, I mean, he needs to develop moves in the low post, and even defensively, he's going to have to improve a lot there. And I started to think, yeah, and I don't know if the Warriors are thinking this way, but I think he needs to work, Ray, with a big man. I don't know if Shaq is willing to put in some work with him. He needs to work with somebody who is a star player, whoever it might be. It could be Tim Duncan or somebody that was a really good big man that can relate to what you have to do to improve in that area. Because I'm not sure that you can get that coaching from just, your regular average coach.
Too bad the late, great Pete Newell is not still around.
There you go, yeah.
He used to have the big man camps in Hawaii. Everybody wanted to go to those. But he was very good at back in the day when it was a different game, of course, than it is now. And a lot of these big men have to step out to the three-point line. That's just the way it is. Pete Newell, just one of the best basketball coaches ever. And the dirty little secret about him is that he had John Wooden's number. And the best thing that happened to John Wooden's career was when Pete Newell decided to step aside as the coach at Cal. So that's mm-hmm. Yeah, you look it up. That's old school basketball stuff. But you don't have. I don't know who they would have around today, who could help them in the off season. I would anticipate coming back the second year, he'll be a much better prepared player. He was dealing with the COVID protocol. Again, he didn't play hardly at all. Maybe one meaningful game in college, and now it's been something like 25 NBA games. So it's really ridiculous to judge a player at this point. I'm just judging what he is right now, and how do you use him for what he contributes right now. He's shown some glimpses. He's shown some moments, but he's still obviously got a lot to learn. So I would hope the Warriors, and I assume they would go in that direction where in the offseason, if they intend to move forward with him, they have him work with some big man training and maybe learn a few more moves in the low block. Not necessarily that's going to be the guy he's going to be. He's not going to be Shaq. But, just to give him a little more versatility. And I do think he'll be a little stronger next year, too.
And one player who seems to have kind of limped into the All-Star break is Eric Paschal. He's just not doing it right now. He just, just doesn't seem like he has the same energy. He's coming up a little short on his layups. And also, I saw this on Twitter Ray, that Jim Barnett on the radio, and I wasn't listening to the radio, but he's on there with Tim Roy. They do a great job. And Barnett was saying that Pascal, when he's shooting his threes, he's not releasing the shot before he reaches the peak of his jump. And he was pointing out that, you know, that's not great. And everybody's got their own style. But I did notice that. I have noticed that he's not at the apex of his jumping when he releases the ball. It seems a little odd. And it's just gonna, another thing, you know, somebody, a young guy who's going to really have to work on that part of his game.
Well, I mean, he's not a big-time leaper to begin with. He doesn't have the hops that a lot of guys in the league do. He's strong. He looked like a better three-point shooter last year. Kind of looks like he's steering it right now on top of what Jim Barnett said. But, yeah, he looks really out of sorts. And he's been very inconsistent. There have been times where he's looked real good, especially as a five with the second unit. But right now, he's just kind of all over the place. And I don't know what he's going to be in his career. I think he's going to have an NBA career. But, you know, his game is really earthbound. You know, he can dunk it, of course, because he's, what, 6'6". But there are times when there are some size mismatches. But he likes to go in the paint. He's not afraid of that. And that's to his credit. But a lot of times it doesn't work out the way you think it would for a bigger player. So the one thing that I liked about him last year is he could play the inside-outside game. Not so much this year. It just hasn't consistently been there. But, you know, he's one of those guys where I could see down the road the Warriors packaging him in a deal. Because I'm not really sure. I thought that he would provide, or maybe they thought he would provide more offense consistently for the bench than he has provided. You know, maybe Jordan Poole becomes that guy. We'll see. But... you know, he's kind of on that cusp of being a guy that they move forward with, or a guy you could see dealing to get some more bench help.
All right, let's talk about the All-Star game. And first of all, let's talk about the three-point contest, because Steph Curry will be in it this time. Devin Booker is also in it, and, you know, the Warriors are just playing him. Those two have won before in the three-point contest. Maybe you could say they're the favorites, but you got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum of the Celtics. You got Zach LaVine of the Bulls and Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz. So, I mean, this is really going to be pretty cool to watch this, you know, exhausting, because it's all in the same day. I mean, you're going to do a three-point contest, and then you're going to compete in the All-Star game on that Sunday.
I know. That's, I think, again, another reason why they decided to rest Steph tonight. Any three-point contest that involves Steph and or Clay, I'm there. So, you know, that'll be what I watch mostly. And the dunk contest, they've become sort of silly. And everybody can dunk now in this league, just about. Although, poor Kelly Oubre, he probably leads the league in missed dunks, and then he gets himself hurt in practice trying to execute a dunk. But I probably will watch some of the All-Star game, because I want to see Steph and LeBron and Greek Freak together. I think that's going to be pretty entertaining for a little while anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm all about the three-point contest. And how could you not favor Steph? You know, maybe Donovan Mitchell, because he's salty that LeBron picked him last, along with Gobert, decides to go out and go off in the three-point contest. We'll see. That whole thing is like, that's like the Dr. Seuss controversy of the NBA. You know, it's like somebody has to be picked last, right? That's the problem when you have the players do it.
Right.
Somebody's going to get upset. Hey, you're in the damn All-Star game. It's okay. But I love what LeBron said. He said, you know, they're not the kind of guys, if you had the video game, that you choose those guys. It's like, ouch.
Yeah. Just being honest.
Even back in the day.
Yeah.
Even back when they had Malone and Stockton, we wouldn't choose them. There's just no love for any player from Utah.
Yeah, they're not getting a lot of respect. Just even for what they've done in
the
first
half. Record.
Yeah.
I know. They're 27-9. No love whatsoever. So I guess if you want to get Mitchell and Gobert fired up for the second half, well, mission accomplished.
Well, you might have a sort of a three-point contest during the game with teammates, because Steph Curry and Damian Lillard are on the same team. And, you know, as far as not just the three-point shooting ability, but the range, you know, and that's something we saw a little bit from Jordan Poole in this game tonight, you know, just being able to fire from way out. And even when you're not having a great game, that's the other thing, you know, we've seen that with Steph throughout the year. And that's what Damian Lillard did to the Warriors the other night, where, you know, he wasn't having the greatest game, but then he just drills that deep three that turns out to be the game winner, and he draws that foul against Draymond Green, so he stepped up big in that game.
Yeah, and it, to me, that was a block by Draymond, and I didn't think they were going to overturn it. And, you know, Lillard's like Steph. He could be having a bad night, but he can go off late in the game and still win it for you. He's got that kind of a threat and unlimited range. You might want to think about doubling him, you know, a couple of those times. But other than that, I mean, Damian Lillard is going to do that sort of thing. And, you know, when you mess around and miss a bunch of layups and really should have been ahead in that game by 10 late, if you'd have made your layups, Lillard wasn't going to hurt you. You take advantage of a situation where they don't have C. Collum and Lillard is just having an off night. And you don't do that, that leaves a mark. I mean, that just tells you what kind of team they are, that they're, you know, they're not really ready for prime time yet. They show signs, and then they, you know, like we said before, three steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, three steps back. Just when you're lured in, you know, they give you a reason to check out. And then, you know, when you're checking out, they lure you back in. That's what it's going to be this year, you know. And so they're going to slowly drive you insane if you let them.
There's a Hotel California. You know, you can check in, but you can never leave. Is that maybe part of it?
Warm smell of Calica rising up through the air. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy. My sights grew dim. I had to stop for the night. That's poetry for you right there.
There you go. All right, so 19 and 18, just past the halfway point of the season. And, you know, one of the things I did notice about Steph, especially in that game against Portland, is that, you know, he gets so much attention. He's starting to get a little bit, I think, a little disgusted with officials now because he's getting so banged up and he's sort of looking for like every call. And I don't think that was Steph before. That's kind of Steph more this year because there's so many people around him. Have you noticed that? I don't know. I just do notice a little bit of frustration more with the officials more than anything.
Well, I kind of felt like he was fed up with the refs the night in the finals, but he threw his mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah, there's that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this has been building for years with him. I know he feels, and there are a lot of fans that notice this, who feel like he doesn't get the same treatment that a James Harden does or a LeBron James, and that, you know, they even now don't regard him on that level. And I think it's partly due to the kind of player he is, and sometimes they don't give that kind of deference to the smaller player, that the player that's, you know, playing below the rim, that's so adept at the rim, has become such a good finisher, so good at avoiding contact as Steph is. I mean, he's really slippery at the rim now. He's also a lot stronger than he was earlier in his career. That's helped him to finish as well. You would think that a guy that goes to the bucket as much as he does, and he does for a guy who's known for three-point shooting, they'd get more calls. He ends up on the floor a lot. And for some reason, a lot of NBA referees just don't buy that. I don't know if it's any prejudice against Steph. I think it's just the kind of game he plays. And, you know, in real time, refs miss things because of the way he plays and because he's so slippery and maybe has that reputation of being that kind of player, doesn't seek out contact. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. And if it is, well, that's a fault in the league. And sometimes this year I felt like the refs have been out of control, especially with the technical fouls. I mean, you know, they gave a player a tech for yelling "and one" the other night. Every player in the league, when they go to the rim, yells "and one."
Right? And you wouldn't even hear it if there were a lot of fans in the arena.
That's what it is, Joe. I think that's what it is. Everybody can hear it now, so it's kind of embarrassing them. If you're yelling "and one," you don't get the call. Of course, the other thing the refs like to do is they'll see a guy make contact at the rim, and then if he misses the shot, they'll blow the whistle, right? But if he makes the shot, they'll figure, well, it couldn't have been too bad if he made the shot. You know?
Those are the ones that Curry is complaining about a lot, I think. I think there's a lot of them like that.
Right. So, you know, just if it's a foul, it's a foul, right? But human nature being what it is, and we are dealing with human beings, it's never going to be perfect. That's just the way it is. You know, Draymond is going to be Draymond. The referee is going to deal with him as they always have. And at this point in his career, he's just not going to get any slack. And that's just the way it is. you can try to change it in the offseason, but I think during the regular season you can't. All you can do then is decide how you're going to deal with it.
All right, this daunting schedule continues for the Warriors. It actually gets worse, and like we were saying before, and silly me, it's actually you can check out anytime you like, right? But you can never leave. So you're going to check out for the All-Star game, but you can't leave because there's great games coming up. If you like a challenge, the Warriors will play at the Clippers, their next game after the All-Star break, which is next Thursday. And then they play Utah, like you said, best record, Lakers. I mean, wow, this is, you know, it's going to be hard to stay above 500 for a little while, but then things get a little bit easier, I think, in the schedule after that.
By the way, the Wizards took down the Clippers tonight. Bradley Beal at 33. The Bradley Beal of trade rumors, the very same with the Wizards. They're going to be a tough matchup, but, you know, the Clippers are now 24-14. Really impressed with the way Phoenix played tonight. Yeah, how could you not be impressed with the way the Lakers played the other night? They got Schroeder back, and they just stomped the Warriors, who looked like they enjoyed Saturday night in L.A. And, you know, I'm not sure what the timeline is for Anthony Davis, whether he's going to be back by that time. But even without him, the Lakers are going to be prohibitive favorites in that one. And then, of course, the Jazz, who have been known for their defense, but now have a pretty high-powered offense. So that's going to be, you know, all these games are going to be a night where Steph's going to have to be on point. And he's going to have to get some help, too. So hopefully Oubre's back and, you know, Wiggins appears. I mean, a game like tonight where you don't have Oubre, you don't have Green, you don't have Steph, this is a night, like you said, where they needed Wiggins to score 40. Where was he? I didn't even notice when he was in or out of the game.
No, he didn't get – he got 16. He had a few moments there. But, yeah, he's – I don't think he's the kind of guy who just takes over a game.
Well, no, and yet he has that ability. He's shown it from time to time throughout his career, but I think he's probably a victim of expectations, and he's just not that guy. He's a complimentary guy. So if you're okay with that, fine. But on this team, he needs to be more. And I think a lot of fans in the front office thought that he would be more than he is. So, again, another one of these guys, you know, he just thrown it out there. If I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors made a blockbuster deal, not saying they're going to, but you start talking about guys like Wiggins and Pascal. And of course, if they're going to make any kind of blockbuster deal, that has to include Wiseman as well. And I think it's way too early in his career to say what he's going to be. But if you wanted to get that star player to win now and next year while Steph and Clay were still in their prime, and again, assuming Clay comes back healthy, I could still see them doing that. I'm not saying they're going to do that. You know, there have been all kinds of rumors thrown around, but it's just one of those areas where you could say, yeah, that makes sense. That could be an opening. Because from what I've seen of Wiggins, would anybody be terribly heartbroken if they parted ways with him and that deal was able to bring back a star player who could be another scoring threat? I don't think so. He's been pretty good defensively, but I think he can get by with that. Now I think Steve Kerr is recognizing that the changes he's got to make are defense for offense. They're number four in defensive efficiency, which is great, but their offense is about 20th, and they've really suffered. They don't complete, you know, they have pretty good movement of the ball when everybody's in there, but they don't complete the player like they used to. And, of course, they don't have Clay either. And that's the number one story this year. They don't have Clay. But what are you going to be in the future? Are you going to assume that Clay is going to be able to resume that load, or do you think you need more scoring punch and try to fill out the roster a different way, saying, okay, we've got the firepower now. We can fill in pieces who play good defensively. Right, you're able to do that in the NBA and not, you know, bust the salary cap. So I'm just thinking long-term here, big picture. I mean, this season's interesting, but with the halfway point, with the All-Star break, we're assessing where this team is. We're asking what the purpose is for this year. And one of the purposes may be to develop Wiseman. Another one is to find out who else you got who can help you off the bench, hopefully among the young players who are under financial control. And hopefully Jordan Poole is one of those guys, and if he's able to play like he did tonight, that could be a big story for the second half. But long-term, what are you looking at? Because You know, Steph's going into the last year of his contract. What are you going to do for your star player? Are you going to do anything for him this year? Or does Steph know the deal? That, you know, that's not what this year is about. Just go out and do your thing. And even though it's a prime year, you know, you're kind of biding time until the 21-22 season when you know they got to load up. It's going to be Steph's last year of his contract. You know, he says he wants to retire a Warrior, but reward him then. You know, I'm not just talking financially, but put a team around him that makes him want to stay. And these are big questions coming up for this team in the next 6 months.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be a lot of thinking here during the All-Star break as well. And enjoy it, Ray. Enjoy the All-Star game, and look forward to talking to you next week.
I just remind you, Joe, one time I made a three-pointer to win an airline ticket from Salt Lake City to the Bay Area in the dead of winter, and it couldn't have come at a better time. They used to print out these programs for the Utah Jazz, and if you had the right symbol on the starting lineups, after the game, I forget what airline it was, fans would line up and shoot three-pointers. And if you made a bucket, you got on the plane. So I railed one straight away. So, you know, I'm undefeated in three-point contests. I just want to let you know that.
That's awesome. All right, well, keep it going. Thanks, Ray.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.